Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast. Walt Harris here. I'm sorry, Willat Harris. I was lazy this morning instead of Walt, but whatever. Anyways, it's Monday. We're back. Back of the grind. Unless you got different hours than I do. And currently I'm sitting behind bumper-to-bumper traffic, which means somebody probably wrecked or there's either a stalled car or probably a whole bunch of stuff going on. As always. But, not much going on news front as far as Pitt goes. Well, actually, there's a whole bunch of it, but it's nothing too riveting right now. I mean, basketball, for instance, Pitt's obviously dealing with a lot of things. Capel's out recruiting. And he's, looking at the prospects, current and future. And also, he's dealing with players leaving still because Marcus Carr obviously is officially gone. And I read an article this morning about Marcus Carr where he's got four schools prioritizing him. Two of the schools, actually three schools are Big Ten. One is a Big E school. So you have Ohio State, Michigan State. I'm sorry, Michigan. Ohio, Michigan. I was distracted by what was supposed to be a crotch rocket revving, but instead it's just a guy in a beat up. Is that a Mazda Miata? I don't know, it's beat up like hell, but it's got, sounds like it's got some racing mods on it. It's an old Mazda car. It looks like a freaking tin can. Somebody did something to it to make it sound like a hot rod. But yes, car's gone. Ohio State, Michigan, Minnesota, and Marquette talking to him. And really, that's not a bad list. I mean, initially, we supposedly Villanova was talking to him, but watching him play, I'm not sure if he'd be a fit for Villanova. These schools here tend to make sense. But Marquette, he go play for Woj. So to me, I mean, a lot of people would probably look at this list and say probably he probably goes to Michigan or Ohio State. But I think he probably ends up he'd go into Marquette. There's a good chance of Marquette if I was betting, on his landing spot. I really don't think he'd go to Minnesota. Unless there was some sort of reason why he'd want to go there, but then of course in the case of Malik Ellison, who his situation is a lot different than the other guys. I mean, they're all got to sit out a year anyway, but Allison transferred to Pitt and had to sit a year. And now with the coaching change, he's hearing from other schools, according to his dad. And I guess, I'm not sure if he's listening or what he's doing, but obviously he's, you know, he's considering not coming back either. And if he doesn't, he's going to sit out another year. So your college basketball career has yet to start, and you're transferring for a second time in a row. I mean, he could play this year if he stayed at Pitt. He would play. I mean, is it because of loyalty to Kevin Stallings? I don't really totally think so in a lot of these cases. I'm sure they weren't, I mean, obviously they weren't happy with the change because they really liked Stallings, but when you had long seasons, they did, when they were pretty much thrown to the wolves by no choice. I mean, they had no choice. The staff had no choice. These guys had to be thrown in the fire. And for a lot of them, they, their stock went up. So they're going to be under new coach. So do they want to stay at Pitt, or do they want to go somewhere to a bigger program? And that's where we're at right now. But really, with Marcus Carr, I mean, Michigan, Ohio State, those are two bigger hoops programs in Pitt. You know, they've played for national titles. Recently, they just haven't won any. They've been runners up. So, they have that going for them. You know, they can at least go to school that they know can compete for a national title. What they see playing time, though, is another thing. But I could see, but if you look at the coaching styles, I mean, Carr could probably fit in pretty well with Bayline's, you know, with Bayline's style of play. But really, that's the only notable that we've heard anything from, you know. What schools are, you know, talking to. I know Parker Stewart left, and we haven't really heard about what he's talking to. And everyone says it's going to be Memphis because of his relationship previously with Penny Hardaway. You know, maybe Parker goes down south because maybe the winter got to him, you know, maybe because of the snow in April. I'm sure anybody would be pissed off at snow in April. Hell, if I still live in Pittsburgh, I'd be mad at snow in April. Because in Pittsburgh, the snow is pretty much supposed to stop sometime in March. That's when it's supposed to end. Then when April comes, you're not supposed to get any snow. If you do, it's going to be a light drizzle. And a nice weather is supposed to come by, but unfortunately, in this case, it didn't. Yeah, hopefully, it is now. I haven't really checked Pittsburgh weather in Lord knows how long. But you know, these players, they have a chance to, you know, go play for somewhere better, where the situation is better. They're not part of a rebuilding process. I mean, they're losses. I mean, these are still losses for Pitt. Because basically, they need these players for next year. But if Cable could pull some really, really good players out of his ass, maybe this isn't much of a loss. So, like anything else in the world, you wait and you see how it ends up. Now, as far as Pitt baseball, which is, you know, I really, I hardly talk Olympic sports on here, but I was curious about Joe Giordano. You know, after all the firings and Heather Lake's been doing all the house cleanings, I figured Joe Giordano's got to be sweating. But the amazing part with Joe Giordano is over this past week, they took a series against Miami, which is pretty big because Miami supposedly had a decent baseball program. And in the 5 years Pitt's been in the ACC, they've never qualified for the postseason tournament. Ever. And now he's got them in contention. They're third in their division, eighth overall in the ACC. So I thought maybe he'd be sweating a bit because Heather maybe will be going for him next, but if he can get them in the postseason, you know, at least ACC tournament play, that's pretty big for them. That's big for the program. So it's like, do you get rid of Giordano or bring somebody else in to take him to the next level? Obviously, that'll be the next discussion she probably has. Me, I think you stick with Giordano because when they were leaving the Big East, they were doing pretty well. It's just the ACC's a different monster, and I guess the facilities have helped. But the program's been making a lot of progress now this year, and they've been pretty much under the radar. And if you can get them, in the ACC tournament play, then you probably stick with him and give him at least another year or two to see what he does else. But if Heather has somebody up her sleeve, then which she's been known to have, then maybe not. So that's one thing to look after. I mean, because we've replaced a lot of coaches. We obviously know the women's coach obviously is going to do pretty well for hoops based on his resume. And much to the dislike of certain people on social media. All right, so we wiped all that out. So not much else going on in terms of Pitt hoops, Pitt basketball. I could get into in depth of what to expect next year for Pitt football, and it just really isn't worth it right now because there's not much to talk about. One thing, one area of issue obviously for Pitt on the offense is going to be tight end because Chris Clark is not coming back probably. But whatever it is, if it's personal, I hope it works out for him. But I guess we'll shift our focus. Local sports, obviously. The Pens wiped out the Flyers without some sort of drama. And, that's always been a rivalry. And crazy things happen in rivalries, whether it's a series or a game. And, Philly does own the overall record in this for the Pens Flyers series, much to our dismay. But one thing I'm curious about with that series, the Pens were bad for so long, for most of their history, up until Mario came by. I'm wondering what the Pens record against Philly is now from Mario on. Because I remember reading Steelers media guides, and I would always look at the records the Steelers had overall against teams, and their overall record against Cleveland was horrible. But when the 70s came, their record against Cleveland just was really good. Although Cleveland was very competitive against Pittsburgh, even during the 70s. you know, 80s, they were pretty even. Although the Cleveland went to playoffs a bunch of times, and Steelers had some issues there. But I remember as a kid reading those media guides, Cleveland owned us in that series, over in the overall series. But now as the tides have turned, Pittsburgh owns that series by a bigger margin now. And you can factor in the 70s, and plus not to mention 1999, where Cleveland came back as an expansion team, and they've been crappy ever since. You know, the Bengals Bengals almost owned us in our series, and that was during the Esiason years. They almost took the lead in the series, and Steelers prevailed in that as well. I think the few teams, one team that Pittsburgh overall has a really bad losing record against is Philly. But a lot of those games was from games in there back in the 30s and 40s and 50s when they were common opponents. Pirates are obviously still doing well, and I don't really watch much baseball except for the Astros when when I drive in and I have to hear sports talk, they're going to talk Astros. You know, as far as NBA playoffs go, I watched the Cavaliers last night, and I'll be surprised if Cleveland gets out of this series, but they maybe not. Indiana tends to choke in the playoffs. And they choked last night's game away, as they just couldn't get any shots at the end. And of course, you had your usual Lance Stevenson, LeBron James feud going on, as always. It's like a WWE feud. And you know, one person in particular media person has really been looking at this game, and it's obviously been Clay Travis, because one, he hates LeBron, and he's been after LeBron for a good while, and it all started last year when there was an incident where I guess somebody spray painted some racial epithets on his home in Brentwood, California, and supposedly there was never any evidence of it, and Clay went after him, and is still after him. I guess he's still monitoring that case, from what I've heard. Although it's a year old now, and yeah, it could have been a hate crime, but a lot of times with vandalism, if there's no evidence, if there's no people, if they don't have any people, let alone suspects, it's just like, you know, a theft case where you get your stuff stolen, and if there's no, they don't know who did it or whatever, they're not really going to prioritize it. So it's the same thing in this case as well. But ever since then, he's been after LeBron, monitoring everything he does, he says. And, you know, he's been, obviously, this whole barbershop thing where LeBron sued, they filed a suit against Alabama over, because they did a similar thing. And personally, I thought it was a dumb move on LeBron's team to do that, because it's not the original idea. Everybody's done it. So Saban pretty much nicely told LeBron to go F off, and that was that. And supposedly LeBron's getting sued for that barbershop idea from somebody else now. And the reason why one of the big reasons why now he's monitoring this whole series now is, or he's all into it, is because ESPN supposedly loves LeBron. ESPN has a big major contract with the NBA. And one thing he's all concerned about or obsessed over is the ratings, because he thinks the ratings are going to dip really bad once if Cleveland gets knocked out of the playoffs, because he feels that they need LeBron to heighten the ratings of the NBA playoffs. So he's eager to see if Cleveland gets knocked out. Which, I really don't think the ratings will dip too much with NBA, because even if they lose LeBron, they still got Golden State. People are going to still tune to watch them to see if they lose or not, because you got people that hate Golden State, you got people that love Golden State. You still got the Rockets. They're still one of the top teams in the league. But the thing about them is lately, James Harden, the playoff version of him, is rearing his ugly head. And LeBron, I guess, supposedly Houston was a landing spot for LeBron, and Houston is very confident they can get him. But if they flame out again in this playoffs, I doubt he's going to be coming to Houston at all, or let alone consider him. I think if he goes anywhere, he's going to stay east. Because if I were him, I would really look at Philly right now. They'd be really young, really good team. And I didn't realize how good the 76ers were this year. I thought they were still rebuilding, but I didn't realize they were a playoff team, but they're a damn good one. So, personally, if I'm going to stay east, I'd probably go with the Sixers. Then, of course, you have the Raptors and all. There's a whole bunch of good teams this year in the NBA. There's the product this year is a lot better than what it was before. Last year was bad because it was just freaking Rockets and Cavaliers. There was no clear cut. Pretty much no clear-cut team, other good teams out there. It was just those two, and that was it. And we had to sit and wait all season for these two to get to the finals and watch them play. This time around, it's different, because we got better teams. Players moved around. The focuses have shifted. So, you got good teams all around now. And NBA product is always, especially playoffs, is always going to be good. People are always going to watch, because that's what we do. It's fantastic. So I don't think it's because of politics or anything like that. NFL politics didn't really kill the product. It's just bad football did. That's all that really is. And a lot of people say the players kneeling hurt the product, and really it doesn't. They're just, especially a lot of the primetime games, there were some that just weren't good, and if the matchup isn't good, then people just aren't going to watch it. That's just how it is. In a more of a sitcom drama sense, I thought this year's and this past year in NFL was really good, because it had so many storylines. It's like glorified wrestling. Every team had their own storylines, feuds, and they were publicized. It was almost like it was almost like turning on the WWE for all day. But anyways, guys, I'll stop rambling about stuff. I'm glad guys got some pit talk in. Congrats to all you Pens fans out there. I would consider myself a Pens fan too, but I don't live in a hockey town anymore, and I really don't watch much hockey anymore except for playoffs. So I can't really consider myself part of Penn's Nation, because I'm just not, I just doesn't feel right to me at all. So congrats to you guys. You won another series. You're moving on. three-peats are very hard to come by. But still, at least your team didn't flame out in the first round. They're gonna keep going. And that's just part of the fun. So, anyways, guys, Hell in a Pit. Talk to you later.